welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord has so much to say to people that love him. He can talk and relate to those who share in his love. I've said it many times before, and I say it every time fresh. I didn't learn much from God till I asked him to teach me how to love his people. When I started learning about, when I asked him questions about how to love people that were an enemy to me, I paid attention and I learned things about people. And the Lord trusted me with precious knowledge. And when he saw that I loved his people, he released much information to me. And then I wanted to use all the information he gave me. Now, the word of God, just you would think that if God says something, you'd never forget it. But that's not the way it works. Satan don't want people to know the heart of God. He's trying to hide God from man. And he's trying to get man in sin and pride so God will resist him. And then he still won't be able to learn. He knows how God's going to react to an undevoted heart. And we have a vicious enemy that once was an angel and saw the face of God and understood what we don't understand. He's trying to hide the very word that gives us life. He's trying to keep it concealed. Now, sometimes you're going to have to learn God's word, and you're also going to have to learn how your enemy thinks and how he works. Any soldier that train other soldiers, they teach people how their enemy thinks. If you know how your enemy thinks, you can defeat them. Or you can defeat them better with less casualties. Now, Ezekiel gives us information about the enemy, and Isaiah chapter 14 gives us information about our enemy, Satan. Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 20, gives us a good insight into satanic activity. Now, he was an angel. The Ezekiel scripture shows how that when he was an angel, you know, he gave description of him as Lucifer. And then Isaiah gives description of Lucifer falling and why. Now, you just have to read those scriptures. And then you'll know what we're dealing with. You can see how he thinks and how he can process and how vicious he can be when you read Job chapters 1 and 2. Everybody need to read these books and these scriptures so they can better judge their own life, what they're fighting. John makes it simple. 1 John chapter 2. It said that the world system is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's your world system. And that's what the enemy uses to divide man from God. Now, the Lord put on my heart to share parallels. A lot of times people look at the generations and think one generation is worse than another. Sometimes that's true, and most time it's not. They're the same. In the beginning, when we first met Eve and Adam was in the garden with no trouble, there was no reason to disobey God. He had done good by man. He was credible. All of his words were credible. And if they do what he say, they live forever. What a deal. Because God is like a father to us. He will never do us wrong. But our enemy came with his talk, with his bickering. And he found the most subtle creature, which was a serpent. And he tried to entice Eve to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, Eve was deceived. God judges a deceived person differently than a rebellious person. But see, after she did this, and then Adam ate off the tree, their eyes were both open. She wasn't deceived anymore against God. Now, she was like Adam. Whatever she did wrong, she did it on purpose concerning the things of God. Now, our first parents sinned, and we're made in that kind. We were born with a sin nature. That's where it came from. It's not your fault. You were born into it. You inherited it. But Jesus died in your place so that you wouldn't have to go to hell. That's the good news, the gospel. Everybody's infected with sin, the cancer of sin. Jesus came to heal us. He provided a way of healing. And everybody, it's not just for one group of people. It's not just for one race. It's not just for the old. It's not just for the young. It's for everybody, every man. Even soldiers, policemen, everybody, everywhere. Everybody, everywhere throughout the generations can benefit from what Jesus did, unless they reject it. So now the enemy turns his greatest deception skills to get men to not believe on Jesus Christ, so he can sucker you into hell. Now, some people will say, oh, that's just a religious superstition. All right, tell that to the people that have already gone and waiting, wish they could come back and warn you not to go there. But thanks be to God, the Lord have let men see it and go there. I've been there in a dream. I went to sleep and the Lord took my spirit to hell and showed it to me a year before he called me to the ministry. I can still see it. I can still remember it. It's forever etched in my memory. Now, and other people are seeing the same kind of things. Hell is huge, so the Lord is showing people different aspects. Some have seen popular people there. It's possible. And before you discount it, you just have to watch it for yourself. But study the Word of God more than anything. The Lord loves us. When mankind stand before the Lord, they're going to understand that he did everything possible in his power to help us choose the right thing so we don't have to die. But sometimes that's not enough. Now, the parallels are these. In the first generation, Cain killed Abel. He murdered his brother because he was jealous of him. Because God had more, he had more respect and he received his offering more than Cain. More than Cain's offering. Because see, salvation requires blood, and he offered the best of his flock, and he sacrificed them to God. He killed them and sacrificed them to God, and God received it. Cain gave God his best vegetables. Now, my mother told me that he should have took his best produce, his best vegetables and fruit, and bought some lambs to offer to God. But he didn't do that. All right. So in every generation, there were people that worked against the plan of redemption. Now, men can be deceived about a lot of things. But when somebody tell you the light of God's word, their response to that light positions them. It shows you what's in their heart. Either they come to the light or they get mad and stay in darkness. But they can detect that the light is of God. And they try to find fault and excuses so that they don't have to come. But that's not going to help them. They're going to share the same misery that everybody else did that did that. Now, when Jesus came on the scene, in the law, it was the Pharisees against God. And you heard their satanic bickering. You heard the words of the serpent. That was satanic bickering. Then the armies against Israel was satanic bickering. And then the idolaters was satanic bickering. In their speech. Then the Pharisees, they tried to find fault with Jesus, trap him in his words so they could accuse him. And then they died out. Then the apostles were on the scene after Jesus rose again. And the same Pharisees, and they were all, wherever Paul would go and preach the gospel, they would stir up the Jews against him. And that's satanic bickering. And then the Jews with their prestigious ways, would stir up the Romans and the Greeks against him. And then they died out. And then a new king came about. And they tried to wipe out Christianity because people started getting saved. Satan had to find a way to shut it down. Then you have false teachers with their satanic bickering. And even in modern times, people, they've given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And they do Satan's bidding. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. There are people now, they're just like in Isaiah's day. They don't want preachers to preach the word. They want to hear smooth things, good things, favorable things, things they want to hear. They don't want to hear about hell. They don't want to hear about living right. And that's not the way it should be. The blessings of God follow those who walk in love. If you're not going to walk in love, don't think about the blessings of God. Think about repenting so that you can miss hell. The goodness of God is always available to us. God sends rain on everybody, the just and the unjust. He gives everybody his word so that they can believe. But what do they do with it? It's not of God to take his word lightly. He loves us all, and he works hard to help us out. Now, let's listen to some of the things that Jesus had to deal with. Verse 5, for whether it's, well, verse 1, Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came to his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes and said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Evil in your hearts. Okay, verse 5. For whether is easy to say, for which way is easy to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. A miracle was done. Only God can do that. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house he was eating, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. See, when the light is on, people come to it that want to know God. And they're willing to walk out of darkness. These were not the best people in the world, but they saw something. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat, behold, the publicans and sinners came and sat down with him at his and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Verse 13, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but the disciples fast not? Jesus saith unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom should be taken from them, and they will fast. Now, the Pharisees and Sadducees, even though the man got healed, Thank God for the man's deliverance and healing. They tried to find fault with Jesus. Then when he ate with people that they looked down upon, he gave them light and they came. They responded. The tax collectors and the prostitutes and people that didn't do right, the sinners, they responded because they saw the light. And the religious people got mad. Now, this is the problem that we still have in our societies today. Satan don't want people to know who God is. And he's trying to put a wedge between God and man. Just don't let him do you that way. There's nothing you can do about what other people choose to do in their life, but you can alter your own course. Now, Jesus made himself available to all men. And when they came, he didn't turn them away. The Pharisees thought they were righteous. He said, I came to heal the sick. You know, I love the way the Lord do things. Jesus said, when he heard that, he said to them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And all of them were sinners, especially the religious people. Just like now. There are two kinds of people. People that need God, which we all do, and people who know they need God. See, when the light is shining, you can tell where you're at. When Jesus come back, people that are wrong in their heart, they're going to be afraid and run and hide and try to act like they wasn't doing anything wrong. But their own conscience testifies against them. Jesus don't even have to say a word in judgment for them to know where side of the fence they're on. Now, those that love his appearance, they are doing the right thing. They're going to be in awe. And they might fall out. They're going to be overwhelmed at the presence of God, but they're not going to be afraid of him. They will embrace him in their heart, just like they do now. But people that love this world, they're going to have a problem with the light. Everybody who loves darkness has a problem with Jesus Christ, because he's the light of the world. And they also have a problem with people that love him, because we're the light of the world. We've been made the light of the world. He is the light of the world. And he made us righteous. And now we're the light of the world. So people, when they do you wrong, they're doing him wrong. When they don't listen to you, they're not listening to him. And when you don't listen to him, you're not listening to God. When you're angry with the people of God, you're not just mad at angry with the people of God. You're angry with Jesus Christ, because you're angry with God, too. You don't want him to be over your life. And that's just the way it is. Now, cold religion, they try to ease people, you know, soothe people. And that doesn't work. It never will. And then when they start looking at getting involved with darkness, they become the enemy of God. And they have a problem with Jesus. And then they have a problem with the people who love him. Just like the world. It's no different. The Pharisees had a problem with Jesus, and everybody that benefited from him and everybody that loved him. To the point that they wanted Jesus dead, and then they wanted his people dead. And when they couldn't kill them and run them out of town, they were afraid of the multitudes, because so many people love God. When that would happen, they tried to undermine the church, the people of God. The church is not a building. It's the people of God, people that were made righteous. That's the first definition for the word church, or should be. That's the people of God, not a building. Building just made of brick and mortar. Wood, tar paper, the roofing. That's going to be here when the rapture comes. The church is God's people who love God, who live holy, who live in his word. Now, living holy is just doing what's right. That's all it is. It's just living a pure life. It's not doing anybody wrong. And it's doing what's right. Living by the love of God is just helping people when they need you to. And living wisely is just making good, decent choices. So, when we do that, we can build our life and we can learn to protect our lives so that we can resist all forms of satanic bickering, satanic activity. Who hear God out and seek him and get to know him, they learn things that others don't learn. And this, it's a blessing to learn things, the things of God, and share it with people that want to know it. I desire to share the things that I learned. And the Holy Spirit governs how I relay his word. People that are proud, the Lord don't prompt me to say things. My preaching is more like parables when I'm around people that's proud. If I'm teaching in a room and it's got people that are proud and people that love God, the preaching is going to be different. Now, it's full of the love of God, and God's going to say things that will help everybody. But you can feel the resistance of the proud. But when you're around people that's hungry for the word of God and they love him, their devotion activates the Holy Spirit, who activates the anointing. And you say things you never thought you'd say before. Some things you never remember learning. But the Lord will put together the word that you took in and bless those who are calling for more. Because God chose the light and he divided the light and the darkness. And he's always going to divide the light and the darkness. And people in every age of man have taken sides with the world system and against God, or with God against the world system. Now this blending, that's kind of a new thing that was always around, but the enemy used lukewarm people as a weapon. See, when people don't make up their mind to love God, they falsely represent God, and it hinders people from learning God. And that's why so many people were not used to the power of God and the healing of God. They were taught that it went away. Now God doesn't do anything foolish. It would have been foolish to give man healing and then stop it. God is not foolish. It's wiser to continue to heal people. It's because you love them. And God never stopped loving us. And he always healed us. Now, he healed people all along, from the time he began healing to now. He always healed people. In every generation, from the time of Adam, he healed people. But people, because they didn't expect it, they didn't get healed as much. But you can go all the way back to Adam, and God started the healing process. And it started in the days of Adam. He said, behold, the seed of woman will bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent will bruise his heel. He was letting Adam know that I'm going to redeem you. And he said it so Adam could believe it. And the devil believed it and started trying to kill people and started trying to divide people. And God divides the children of light from the children of darkness, because he's wise. He wants his people to stand flat-footed and be on his side against all evil, just like he is. He wants his people to be no different than he is. And he wants Satan's people, if that's what they choose, he'd rather for you to be cold or hot, righteous or wicked. Jesus ended the word of God saying, let those that be righteous still, and let those that be wicked still. You don't have to stop people from being wicked. Just let them be what they chose. They made a choice. Don't try to police them into the kingdom of God, because it will not work. People got to make their own choice. Even our children. Now, my dad kind of raised me, to make a choice. My parents, they wanted me to love God. They didn't want me to love the world. And they told me, they love me. They figured I'd make the right decision. And I want my children to love God and not the world. I told them that I want them to. But I also told them that the enemy's going to try to pull you away. Don't let him do it. I gave them fair warning. So when things go crazy, they'll know what their dad was talking about. And they can see it. I said, you don't have to just take my word for it. Look around. People that's doing worldly things, are they happy? Did it work for them? You can't hide from the devil either. You have to do what you do on purpose. And you have to use the authority God gave you. He's trying to put a wedge between you and God on your end. And if he can get you on in pride, he know God's going to resist the proud. It's important to take time and learn the word of God. Excuse me. Every generation has had to deal with the same violence. But God loves us and he treasures us as his own people who love him. If we are walking this way, that the angels rejoice when people get saved and they don't have to die and go burn up in hell. The Lord desires for everybody. Whosoever will, let him come. Let him come. If he finally got a mind to do right, let him come. But Daniel said, the wicked will do wickedly, and they will not understand. You can detect that what Jesus did is true and righteous, but you can't understand if you're wicked. You won't value heaven. You'll throw it away like it's an old rusty penny. If you don't value it. But if you receive the light, you'll start valuing the light and you'll act on it. So many people, most people, they don't know what they're throwing away. They're throwing away their future. They're throwing away a fortune. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He will continue to move mightily in the behalf of those who take him at his holy word.